All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Colleen Gallagher podcast. This podcast is for you if you are a magical overachiever, but it seems no matter how much you obtain or have the big picture, perfect life you've always dreamed of, you feel empty on the inside. And our intention with this podcast is to support you to activate, educate, and empower the overachiever to learn how to create your fairy tale life. We support you with clarity on your purpose, emotional intelligence, emotional mastery, spiritual connection, relationship clarity and mastery, digital marketing and sales, and manifestation. We offer content that will inspire you to see no matter how bad your life feels, you can create a life you love. And this became a passion of mine because I was diagnosed with cancer at age 14. So download, subscribe, and leave us a review to let us know what you're loving. And tune in to receive the frequency. Ah, and I'm so excited, you guys, because we're on episode 130, which is so insane to think that we've been on this journey for 3 years and here we are. And I'm super excited because our guest today is Sandy Golgart, who I met through David Meltzer, who was on episode 62. So if you haven't listened to him, make sure to go. And Sandy is a husband and proud father of two boys first, before being known as a disruptive technology and business enthusiast. He is passionate about helping companies solve for their biggest issues. Prior to his role as president at Zones, Sandy held the roles of Chief Sales Officer at Imagispace, Inc., Senior Vice President, Corporate Sales, as well as Regional Vice President during his 16-year career at Regus, the world's largest provider of flexible workspace. And Golgart is often quoted on real estate issues and trends affecting businesses from startups to Global 1000. He has been featured on Fox Business News, Forbes, Los Angeles Times, Puget Sound Business Journal, and various other media outlets. So Sandy, I'm so glad to have you and welcome.
Thank you, Colleen. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So the question that I really wanted to start out with, I think is really important for our listeners here, is you've obviously had an incredible career and a lot of high level executive positions. And so what do you really think brought you to fulfillment in this life?
As an executive or beyond that?
I think both. I think like in the career, a lot of people in here are struggling with like they have success, but they don't have that fulfillment. And I feel like when I met you last Thursday in Santa Barbara, you've really found the balance of you have an incredible career and you have fulfillment. So how did you kind of get there and navigate that on this incredible career you've had?
Yeah. So I think in many ways, I feel like my career is actually just starting, which to me is kind of an invigorating thing past 50. But, you know, my path to here was very linear for a very long time. So I was a college athlete, you know, had great success in sports, went on to college. When that, you know, started, you know, I wasn't going pro. It was, well, what did you study? And apply the same things that you did in athletics to work, look around, size everybody up, figure out how to outwork everybody, do better than they're doing, and work your way up. And that worked for me in athletics, and it worked for me in the corporate world. But it leads to a very empty feeling where you're not, you know, I grew up loving basketball. So I didn't know when I was doing this in basketball, it was just like, that's what I love doing, and everything about it was great. I never really loved work. Mm. It was just like someone told me, you finished college, you need to go get with a big company and you need to outwork everybody. You need to move your way up. And that's what success is. And then after a while, especially after we put our two kids through college and let them into the world, you know, debt-free, I kind of exhaled and said, you know, now what? You know, my goals and priorities seem to be a little bit different now. What in the world have I done the last, you know, 22 years? And I felt more like a lot of that fulfillment was missing. My goals were more means goals to have a great house, drive a nice car, have a great family, put my kids through college debt free. And as those things were done, it was when you check in with yourself, you're like, you know, it's great. It's certainly better than not doing it, but it's not as fulfilling. So what I actually started doing almost by accident, but my wife shared some meditation stuff with me. I hired Dave as a coach. I literally started meditating just because I knew rich, wealthy people did it. And I thought that's what I wanted to make sure the next 10 years had an abundance of wealth only defined by money, so that I could retire and do everything that everybody wants. And it really started to help me quiet down and start to ignore all the rules and structures and, you know, every dogma around me that said, this is how you have to work, and started to get, allow me to go a lot deeper and find out, who am I really? What are my real skill sets? If I had my choice between doing A, B, and C right now, what would I do? You know, would I play, or would I put my nose down and make 30 phone calls to make sure that I'm out working the guy next to me? And what I noticed was, it started to bring, if you think of different things in your life, like your personal life, your work, your mind, your diet, your health, your exercise, your friends, if you think of those as all different circles, it's exhausting to try to keep every circle filled with enough of your attention. As you bring those, you know, circles closer together and ultimately to where they stack on top of each other, where the one version of you can fill all of those circles at the same time, you kind of start growing your life force. That's when, to me, everything started to come into alignment. I now run 4 different jobs, projects, careers at the same time. I also run a foundation. I'm kind of 10 times more excited, energized, and productive. And then I serve on a board now as well. But it doesn't feel like I'm 10 times busier. It feels like I'm just that much more fulfilled in the work that I do, which makes me want to do more of it. So, and that to me makes me feel like I'm almost just at the doorstep of all of this, not winding down my career, which is kind of what I was wondering after my kids, you know, finished up with college.
Yeah. And I love what you shared, because I think it's such a crucial part is, you know, my first book, it's called Live Your Truth, Begin Your Journey to Freedom and Healing. And what you talked about here is like when you became authentic to who Sandy really was, like who is this when I'm just authentic? Like, what is this if I'm not out working and out doing and out producing? Like, who is that authentic version of me, instead of like, okay, I'm going to be this Sandy with this group of friends. I'm going to be this Sandy with this business thing. I'm going to be this Sandy with my kids and this Sandy with my wife. And it's like, you have like multiple personalities in a way that are functioning, which was, like you said, very exhausting. And Tony Robbins' book, Life Force, which you just kind of shared, it's like, we only have so much energy, and the older we get, you want to understand how to really harness that energy to compound it and to multiply it. So I love that, the way that you shared it, because it's such a crucial point, I think, when we can understand where that energy is leaking and then like cultivating it within and applying it in the right places. So I love that you said that. And I also loved how you said, like, I just took the same things I already knew, like in college, like to sports, and I applied it to my corporate career. And then you kind of said this here, like, I took the same things, even the corporate career, and I just applied it, instead of to this application, to being my authentic self or to being who I really was. So those are some really key takeaways that I feel for my listeners. You guys need to really re-listen and take that in of how you could apply that.
Yeah, I think especially if you're in a career or maybe doing a job that just doesn't feel right. And I think, you know, the Gallup surveys right now, I think, show 85% of people are in jobs that don't feel fulfilled with. There's a lot of data out there around this. One of the things that I would advise people to do, which I did at a point in my career, is really lean into that opportunity, not because somebody's telling you to work harder, but lean into it the way you know you can add the most value. So let's say your company, there's 20 things you don't like about it. You don't like your boss. You don't like what you're being told to do. But inside of you, you know, this is how I would add value. These are the things I know I could contribute. And really lean into that. Ask your boss or your company president or your customers, like, what do you really want from me? How could I add the most value? And start to turn that inside out to say, how can my authentic self help deliver what my company needs? And I bet you start falling more in love with your job, even if the company doesn't end up being a great place for you ultimately. That approach will lead you, you know, naturally through energy and vibration and everything else, to a career somewhere down the road or another job position that is much more of a natural fit, because you've already started to be your authentic self. You don't have to quit. You don't have to throw your computer and say, take this job and shove it. I'm out of here. you can just lean into being more of who your authentic self is. You'll find more fulfillment in the job that you're currently in. And that will lead you down a path to help you find really a better trajectory for yourself.
Yeah. And that kind of goes into my next question that I wanted to share with you. So I like that you kind of intuitively nudged it. But I was going to say is a lot of people in this audience, they're struggling with that. They know they want more out of this life. Like they know there's that empty thing. Like there's that, like you talked about, my kids are, I did all the things, but there's just this feeling of like, is this it? Like, I feel like there's more. And this audience struggles with how is the money going to work if I lean in to this void or to this emptiness instead of just following this path that I was told to follow?
Yeah. What would you Real think? Life.
Yeah.
Real life. You know, this is kind of the magical question and that leap of faith, right, that we all need to take. This is the toughest one for people to really understand, because until you get really good at it, you're always doubting yourself. You're always second guessing yourself. You're always checking back in with the rules or the rules, you know, of society, and you're giving in to fear. And that fear is that my boss might let me go if I'm my authentic self. I might not get my paycheck. I might not do all these things. However, when you are delivering more, you know, in the job that you're in, and you're doing it in a more authentic way, your results will be better. You'll actually find yourself moving up, actually getting pay raises. This is a funny story, but 1 month after I thought I was leaving my place of employment, I was so done, and Dave Meltzer actually encouraged me to really lean in. 1 month later, we were at a meeting, an offsite meeting. I had completely leaned in. I said, I don't really like the way the agenda is going. Let me see what I can do ahead of time to kind of steer it in a direction where I know I can help the most and I can deliver more value. And after the meeting, it was funny, the CEO called me in his office and I thought, okay, I'm either getting fired or promoted. I don't know which. But by being authentic, he sat down, he said, you know what? You think different than everybody else in that room. If we're going to really grow, it's going to be because people like you who think the way you do and the way you speak, I want to work out how to give you ownership in the company. I want to promote you to a new role. And then I want you to help me grow my company. It was within 30 days. So had I not taken that approach, this is what would have happened. I would have found every reason why the company wasn't going to grow, what was going to go wrong with the agenda, why we were screwing everything up. And I would have created that, that reality. And then I would have been right. The company was a bad place. It wasn't for me. And my fate would have been sealed because of my attitude, approach, lack of awareness. But just by doing that, and that's a real world practical example. And so what I would say is, as you get in touch with who you really are, where you want to go, and the awareness, and just like the abundance, for example, of how, where you want to go and the trajectory you want to do it in, these things will start to reveal themselves. I'll give you another example. I was on a bike ride early this morning. There's an amazing property that I really love. It's like this hidden gem. I rode my bike by it again. I keep picturing myself on this property, and it's one that would take quite a bit of money. And as I was riding, I just started to think through and think about what are all the options for how you could get and acquire that. And they just kind of started to present themselves to me as I was finishing up my ride. And now I have a plan in place to how to go about acquiring, you know, that property. And those things happen all the time, whether it's with companies, projects. There's always an answer. There's always a solution. There's always an abundance of resources. It's just whether you're closed off to it and convince yourself you're right, which you will prove yourself to be right if that's what you believe, or if you're open to it, you'll start to see things. You'll recognize contacts. I just scrolling through LinkedIn, a former contact of mine happened to be one person that could help me unlock where I need to go to acquire this company. I called him this afternoon and he's, I got to put you in touch with so-and-so. They could help you, you know, pull that off. And if my awareness wasn't at that level, I would miss all those little you know, God winks or nudges or signs that all of this is really possible. So
I love that you shared that. I think one thing that you said in the beginning, two things you said there, like from the very first question of like, when I got into mindfulness and meditation, and then from that, I'm on my bike ride and I could like hear myself questioning, what is this going to be? Like I could hear the awareness happening, like, oh, instead of this is never going to happen, or this is like a lot of money. Like, what the heck, like, who am I to think this? Because of this practice you have of mindfulness and meditation, like being on your bike ride and being in your own mind, you had the availability to be aware of creating an opportunity instead of it like being a limiting belief. So I really think that's important in that. And I think that once you have that and it's in sync, like just how quickly things go, which is amazing.
And how quickly they don't go as well, right? Which is another thing you have to be in touch with when it comes to mindfulness and meditation and everything is, you know, we've all probably tried manifesting the winning lottery ticket, right, in our hands. It just doesn't happen that way. But it slowly over time makes you a little less fearful today than you were yesterday and a little less fearful tomorrow than you were today. And as that builds and you do the consistent, persistent pursuit of that and feel the compounding effects, pretty soon you achieve that level of, I really am not fearful anymore. Like, I'm not afraid of what's happening. I'm actually welcoming the unknown because I know I can handle it and I know I can navigate through it. And I know I'm actually going to come out more on top or further ahead in the unknown than I would have before. And that kind of ties back to your question about the money and the means and all of that. Like, look, everyone has bills and you have to pay them. And you may have to start out following the rules a little more than you want. But as you gain more mindfulness and you start to lessen the fear that you live in, you'll start to see how much more power you have and then give yourself more permission to trust in it. And you'll accelerate the pace that you fly through that. You can start disregarding the rules or the rules of society in a healthy way and really start to let the best version of yourself, you know, surface.
Yeah. And I think that another thing I want to share of what you said, yeah, like sometimes we'll have ideas of what we want. Like, okay, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a six-figure earner. I want to travel the world, like you said. And sometimes it doesn't happen quickly, but there's other things in our life that are happening quickly. Like there might be a removal of a relationship. There might be a removal of a friend. There might be, maybe we get, we're not able to pay our rent. And so we're forced to move out of the place we're living into another place. But then the new place we live, that ends up being like the neighbor that has the opportunity to the thing that we want. So like, I do agree with you that it's not always like this magical road, but when you can like surrender to whatever that it is, it's what supports you and being like, oh my God, it is all really working out.
Right. Well, Dave is really good at this. Dave Meltzer, who you mentioned before, is really good at creating a discipline within me of finding the life, the love, and the lessons in everything that's going on around you. They're all there. Some things you may hate going through, but inside of them, there's life, love, and lessons in all of it. And if your awareness is high enough, you'll pull those lessons out and only be better for it. And I think that's a great discipline to enact in everyday life all the time.
Yeah. In my fourth book, actually, The Cycles of Love, it's a poetry book. I know a lot of you have bought it, but if you haven't, you guys can go buy it. There's a poem that's called Letting Forgiveness In, and it's called INN Within. So it's basically sharing that the moral of the poem is, what if you could change your perspective of the people that hurt you the most are actually the most connected to God? Because without them, you wouldn't have awakened to where you need to go. So it's like very similar to what you shared. So it's a really cool one.
Right.
So the next question I want to go into, because you have a large career in sales and we have a lot of kind of people on here who I would say struggle with sales, struggle with the idea of sales, struggle with it. Do you like sales? I don't know. I feel sleazy. I feel salesy. Like, you know, I don't want to say anything about an agenda. So what do you wish everyone knew about sales, especially because you have four deals you're working on now or four different experiences you have and you're on a board. Like there's a lot of you that whether, you know, we like it or not, you're maybe not selling yourself, but in a way you're finding a way to add value in different perspectives. So how do we, you know, change that narrative of what people should really just know about sales to feel better about it?
Yeah. So to feel better about it, I think this is where it's really important to go deep inside yourself and just listen to who you really are. And the reason for that is success in sales. I'm actually a huge, I'm kind of anti-sales training. And I'm anti-sales training because I think it's a deodorant for when you don't have the right skills. You're not deep enough in touch with who you are or who your company is that you're representing. So you're masking all that by learning all these techniques, these fear closing techniques of, well, if you don't buy now, then I might go away, but it probably won't. Cause if you want to buy tomorrow, I'll still sell it to you. But you know, and you're just techniquing somebody. If you're really in touch and you have something of value and you're just curious, you know, with the person on the other end of the line, on the other end of the Zoom call or the other side of that desk, and you're really genuinely curious about how is it working today? You know, what if anything would you want to improve? And if I could help make those improvements for you, would that make your life better? And would that be something that you would like to move forward with? Really isn't selling. It's just trying to understand what is the pain the person's in across the other side of the desk. If you really do, and you're representing a good product and a good service, and you understand its capabilities and the reality of what it's truly capable of, you're just matching. And you're also self-selecting when there are people who aren't a good fit, and you feel great about what you're doing. You're not a salesperson. You're kind of a matchmaker, you know, just trying to understand, what do you want? What do you need? How would this help your business? The problem is that we get so focused on means goals. Like, I've got to hit a quota. I have to get this sold by Wednesday or Thursday or next Tuesday. So I have to try to manipulate the person on the other side of this desk so that I can achieve what I think will make me happy, which is me meeting my quota. And the trick is, the more you do that, the less you want to do it, right? The more you're manipulating somebody, it doesn't feel good. We feel bad about ourselves. The clients really don't like us doing that to them. And we go in kind of a spiral. And then we're not very good. And then our boss is saying, hey, look, you got to pick it up. But if you're in touch with that and you're just doing that with more and more people, it actually fuels you because you feel good doing it. Like, I'm in sales because I love talking to people. You know, the more I can hear and learn from you, Colleen, about what's going on well, you know, what would you like to change? How does that affect you? You know, if it got improved, like, what would your life be like? Whether you say it wouldn't help me at all, or that would be amazing, I'm interested. You know, I'm genuinely interested. And then I want to know, can I help you or not? In your eyes, can I be of service? Can I do anything to help? And if I can't, maybe if I can connect you with somebody else who can, I'm more than happy to do that. And likewise, if you can help me find more people who you think might benefit from what I'm talking about, I would welcome that as well. It's like, what more would you want? You just want great relationships with people, and you want more of them in a way that where you're just trying to help each other. So I think if you can turn sales into that, then you have a magical fit. And I'll give you one quick example. Back in my days with Regis, we were trying to monetize our platform to help big companies. So shared office space was generally always great for small companies. I won't bore anyone with the economics, but it was like, if you were 3 to 5 people or less, it worked great. Above that, not so great. And I was tasked with working with the world's largest companies, one of which was Verizon. And I found myself early on working with these companies, trying to be interesting to them, right? I was like, look who we are. I'm the senior, you know, vice president. Let me show you what we could do. And they were like, who cares? Like, we work on such big things. Like, you trying to be interesting to us is falling on deaf ears. It wasn't until I turned that around and I started saying, hey, I'm really curious about all your small properties, the ones that are probably the biggest pain in the neck, which we came to know as the hairball of their real estate portfolio. Okay. And the one that was messy, dirty, dusty. They said, that's our biggest pain in our ass, right? And I said, well, what if I could help you undo that hairball, get a little bit, you know, better streamlined, where you could manage it better? And what if we could squeeze out some significant savings by eliminating all the wasted space? And they were like, that would be amazing. So it wasn't until I became interested in what was really causing them problems, then I could connect that with what our network could do. We ended up selling a multi-million dollar deal and actually ended up announcing it and moving our stock price 18%. Like that, that's all of what comes from being interested before you start trying to be interesting. And I had that backwards.
Well, I'm happy you shared that because I think a lot of you here, like we've used that before. I don't know if it was David Meltzer's episode, but we've used that on an episode before. Like you want to be more interested than interesting. And I know for a lot of you listening, because you are like podcasters, or you're wanting to be coaches, or you want to be healers, and you guys are wanting to share, whether it's meditation, mindfulness, consciousness, like a way of your Reiki healing modalities. And you don't want to come off like salesy because it's like, well, this is like someone's like wellness journey. And what I love that you shared is it's more just like, hey, I'm really curious. I see that you're suffering with chronic pain, or you're saying you're having anxiety, or you're saying that this is happening. Like, I'm just curious, where do you think that started? And like opening the conversation, like you said, in that way, and letting someone open up to you, and from them opening, like getting them to open. And we talk about this in a lot of other sales episodes, is that you're going to be able to then build a trust with them because you can offer value, and naturally they're going to be like, well, wait, do you know what to do? Or do you have something, or do you do this? Like they're going to be asking you for a solution when you come from that space. So I love that you shared that. And it's just practicing that own conversation in your head, like back to what we shared of like just knowing why it is you're here and not being afraid of being your authentic self. So it's not so much the sales part as it is like being authentic to you. And once you can commit to authenticity, the rest is kind of like a very, like you said, just having a natural conversation if you were to meet a stranger.
It's also a really hard balance, I would imagine, you know, for a lot of people. It is a hard balance. And for people listening, you know, they're accumulating great knowledge, biohacks, right? All these great things where they know they can help people. But until you know that somebody really wants the help, it's very hard to sell it.
Totally.
Right. So you really, you know, it's like if you know somebody like, gosh, I could really help you do X, Y, and Z. You just got to let me work with you. It's a very hard entry in, but yet you know that you could help them. It's really difficult, but it's so essential to just say, how do you feel about the way things are going? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel about, you know, your daily routine and where your current life trajectory? Is there anything about your trajectory that you'd want to change? Would you like to accomplish more, stress less? You know, any of that interesting to you? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how willing are you to change? Because that's the other frustration when you know so much about all of these things that many of your listeners know, and they know that they're very good at. Trying to work with someone who is unwilling to change is also a dead end.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to make sure that you're curious enough to just ask the question, what is your tolerance for the ability to change, or your willingness to change? Then you know if you have somebody who really wants your services, now the magic happens, right? And that's when we're fulfilled, because we're working with people who want the services we want to deliver, that we're good at delivering, and we're playing that game and the exchange. And that's when the energy and vibration, everything is so high.
Yeah. And I like what you shared too, which I think is important, is like not taking it as a bad thing if someone's not ready either. Like if they go and they say something, and that's why I love the power of social media for a lot of you who are here, is because even if you meet someone, they say, I'm suffering with cancer, I'm suffering with chronic pain, or I'm suffering from a divorce, or I'm suffering from whatever, you know, whatever that is behind closed doors, even if they're not ready for what you have, having a basis like social media that they can check in, or an email list that they can receive from you, so that they're able to still get information. And then when they're ready to take the action, I think that's a really important part of a business. And also with like a service-based business, is knowing, even though like for me, you know, I've grown my business over 5 years and we have tens of thousands of followers. We have, you know, 22 countries of clients, and our podcast is 77 countries been downloaded. Like, even though we have this large reach, like you have to be okay with knowing that there's going to be a large majority that are never going to buy anything from you. And that's okay. They're just going to receive the free content. They're just going to come across something, and that's enough of you making a difference. And there's going to be people who come and they're watching you, and they're ready to pay 5 figures or 6 figures into what you're doing, or some people 7 figures. Like, you have to just know that what you're doing is enough, and not get so focused on like the one person, just more on like your message and being interested, and like that touch, just replicating that as many times as you can. And then like it will just naturally happen for you. Like kind of what you were saying of like in the manifestation, it's not like, oh my God, I want to manifest this person to be a client. And then it's like, you're just specified on that one person. It's like, okay, I want to manifest a business and the clients that I love and be open to the opportunity of many people are going to leave your life in that process because they're not going with you where you're going. And there's going to be room for new people to come. And so it's not like this linear journey that we think of like in a corporate career of, okay, I do this and I need to go to this vertical to get this experience. Then I need product experience. Then I've got to go over here to get this experience. And then I can jump. Like it's more like you just have this essence of authenticity and then that brings you the right things. And what you said of like, even if it's the unknown that you can surrender and that you're going to know how to deal with it.
Yeah. I think it's just committing to doing the right things all the time consistently. And then it's also, this is another thing that David Meltzer talks about a lot, is finding people who are more in a place representative of where you want to go and ask them for help. You know, ask someone who is 10 years in the business and they can help provide, you know, shortcuts and guidance that'll help accelerate and probably connections. You know, my life changed when I was introduced to so-and-so. Let me introduce you to him. You know, things like that, that can really help accelerate. And those will help get you through those kind of sticky times when you feel like, I feel like I'm doing everything right and it's just not happening. You know, staying consistent with those types of practices will help unlock enough of those big wins that will start to stack over time. And then you won't even recognize, you know, the past, you know, where you've come from.
Yeah. And I like that you shared that because it's a really important part. And like, even when I started my business, like, you know, I built my business off of credit and I invested $30,000 into a mentor, you know, who had done this and already had the results that I wanted. And I invested more money. And so, you know, in my business, I went almost $200,000 in debt in the first few years while I was growing my business, but I was like, not mad that I was still making money. Like my business was making a profit, but I built it on a credit to get around the people. But I think that's what, well, I should say, I know, like that's what made it so sustainable and that's what made it successful from the beginning. So like, just know that there's always like, yeah, proximity is power. So, and then the last kind of question that I had that I wanted to go into is, when it comes to like developing your career, we could kind of touch on this a little bit in here, but when it comes to developing your career and even other people. So I think when we first start, it's like, okay, I want to develop my career and I want to get to the top and I want to do this. And then it becomes about, okay, I want to develop other people and I want to help them get their goals. What do you think is the single most important factor with people that create success, like what we've talked about from fulfillment and authenticity versus those who are like, great, I'm here, but this sucks?
I just want to make sure I'm answering the exact question. So are you saying the difference in starting out your career? How do you make sure you're going like down the right path from the beginning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's a great question. I think even if you start out on the wrong path, just know that it's always correctable. So don't put so much pressure on yourself that you have to think that you have everything figured out right before you move forward or in what you're doing and stop second guessing yourself. You know, I think just going deeper into who you really are as a person, you'll know, are you somebody who loves helping people? You know, is that inside of you? And with what special skill set can you help people the most? Then start doing that. And I know, like for me, even in the corporate world, I was with a company, a large company that just was not about promoting other people. It was always about stepping on the heads of others to elevate yourself. And it just never felt right or okay with me. So I made a practice out of trying to promote all of my team members above me. That was kind of my goal. You know, how do I help elevate your career? I was able to successfully get one lady promoted where she became the manager of all of Japan for our business. So she never elevated me, but my goal was to elevate her and it elevated her up and out into another region where she became general manager of Japan for the whole company. And then I worked really hard to develop other people under me, one of which actually two people ended up taking my job when I left because it split into two. And then another person got the same role in another part of the company to help out another geography. My point in that is that by doing that, I was constantly elevating myself without self-promoting, because the business could look at me and say, all these smart people are coming out of that person's region. You know, all these great results are coming from these people. There must be some, he must be amazing. I was like, I'm not amazing. I'm just helping four or five other people be more amazing than I am. And I get the benefit of that. And when you start to trust that as a process, a lot of people won't trust that because they don't want, their ego doesn't want that person to leapfrog them, right? It's like, oh, I could never live with myself if my direct report ever elevated themselves and surpassed me. I've always been of the opinion, you know, not that I ever wanted that, but if they deserved it, then by all means, if it makes us better as a team, by all means. And by having that approach, it actually never happened because our team was always performing, you know, so well.
Yeah.
So if that makes sense, I think that just goes back to staying true, you know, to who you actually are and finding the best ways to help. And I would constantly, you know, a lot of times within HR, for example, or the people side of the business, you'll have forms and things that you have to fill out and different reviews. I always took those to the next level. I'm a big follower of a number of people that I grabbed tools and examples from that could help me further, you know, ask the right questions, just let them know that I cared enough about their career to do whatever I could to help them. And if I could help them gain a stronger brand within the company, help promote them instead of, you know, put them down and help them get to where they wanted to go personally and professionally, it was ultimately only going to help me and my career. And it did.
I love that. Well, awesome. Well, I'm really grateful for your time here and I'm really grateful for everything you shared. I know it's going to help our listeners a lot. And just to wrap up, anything else you want to share where my listeners and the audience, they can follow you and they can continue to be.
No, it's been my pleasure to be on. If anybody has any questions or would like to follow up with me directly, you can find me on LinkedIn. The nice thing about my name, I'm the only one in the world with it. So it's Sandy Golgart, SandeGolgart. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Sandy Golgart on Instagram, or you can find me on my website at www.sandygolgart.com.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we put that all in the show notes so you guys have it, and definitely make sure to follow Sandy and receive from his wisdom. He's definitely someone you guys are going to want to continue to watch and observe.